2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together with those of like precious faith. We feel the Spirit of the Lord in the sanctuary this morning. Lord, I ask you that the Word of God become alive to us. I pray for the anointing that makes preaching effective. Let it rest upon these lips of clay this morning. Anoint every ear in this sanctuary, those watching by Facebook, we can hear what the Spirit would say. I pray, Lord, that you would do a deep work in our hearts and lives. Lord, there is a desire in us that we may decrease, that Christ may increase. Let your perfect work be accomplished. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the simple thought, down but not out. We've all heard it said, we've probably said it ourselves, that winners never quit and quitters never win. I believe there's some powerful truth in that, but I can just be honest with you. I'm going to be very candid and transparent with you today. There are times that I've gone along in life and I've had many victories, but because of circumstances, trials, distresses, and perplexities, I've wanted to quit certain battles that I faced. Have I ever wanted to quit on God? No, absolutely not. Maybe you're here today and you've been tempted to quit in that department. Listen, I say, as Peter said, I've already heard the words of life. I don't want to go back to that world, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to cross over into the glory world. This world and all of its allurements have nothing for me. I don't care how hard the trials and the adversities get. I've got my eyes on heaven. But there are battles in this life that I can be tempted. Also, you can be tempted to give up in, to throw in the towel. Listen, we have to understand that every battle is linked to another battle. Every victory is linked to another victory. And no man, woman, boy, or girl lives or dies unto themselves. What are you saying? I am saying simply that this, whenever you and I win a battle, we can help somebody else win a battle. Whenever we lose in defeat, it makes someone else susceptible to the enemy's tactics and his victory. We, ladies and gentlemen, must understand that we are the church, the body of Christ, and we must continuously fight the good fight of faith, and we must lay hold on eternal life. I'll be honest, there are many times that I'm discouraged, as you have been discouraged. We've gone through difficulties and trials and tribulations, but what has helped me to get through is I try to see the big picture. I try to see things in the light of eternity. Listen, we all face those little trials and we want to escape out of them. I've said it oftentimes and I'll repeat it over and over again. If you try to escape a trial that God's trying to work something in your life through, you're never going to learn what God's trying to work in you. And it's through the trial, it's through that fiery trial that God puts that fire to your life and all the impurities come to the top. Listen, it's all about Jesus. It's all about being conformed to his image, and we must stay in the fight. We must learn to keep on keeping on. If you get knocked down, get back up, get in the fight. Don't give in, give up, or throw in the towel. We are almost home, ladies and gentlemen. I can almost see the lights of the city this morning. Jesus is coming back for a church that has made herself ready. It's time to get our war clothes on this morning and fight the good fight of faith. Every decision, as I said a moment ago, has repercussions. It's almost like a domino effect falling. Every decision, my decision in one area is like a domino falling in another area. And listen to me, every decision must be prayed about. It costs too much to be out of the will of God. Listen, we don't have much time left. I don't want to play games. I don't want to go through the calisthenics of religion. I want to know what the mind of God is and the will of God. There's too many souls dying out there that are on their way to hell. The church of the living God, it's time that we get serious with Almighty God and get our war clothes on and fight the good fight of faith. Listen, and you're going to face some things in this battle. You're going to have some problems and you're going to get knocked down every once in a while. Have I ever got knocked down? I've got knocked down plenty of times. Have I ever been hit by the enemy when I didn't see it coming? Absolutely. They say that the punch that knocks a boxer out is the punch he didn't see coming. And I can tell you there have been times that the enemy sucker punched me. I didn't see it coming and it knocked me down. I got discouraged. I felt downcast. I even had the poor me mentality, wondering if anybody else knew what I was going through. Listen, you may not know what I'm going through, and I may not know what you're going through, but he knows, and he's touched with the feelings of all of our infirmities. It's time that it's high time that we look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. God knows and understands. Get up and get back in the fight. I don't know who I'm talking to today that's going through this. If you're not going through it, you've been through it before, or you may be going through it tomorrow. So hold on to God's unchanging hand and listen to the word of God this morning. We must get up when we get knocked down. You know, I love to see a good boxing match. Some people say, well, that's a little too violent. Well, it's a sport, and some people like it, some people don't. I personally like to see a good boxing match. I'm not going to pay pay-per-view to see it. I watch it for free, the highlights. In 2018, December of 2018, there was a heavyweight boxing match. Deontay Wilder from Alabama, called the Bronze Bomber. Man, this guy can hit. He's one of the hardest hitters in boxing of anyone other than Mike Tyson. He fought Tyson Fury from England. And these men, Tyson Fury is the most skilled boxer, but Deontay Wilder is a knockout king. Maybe some of you have seen it on ESPN, the replay. And in this boxing match, Tyson Fury had won every single bout. He was winning on points. He was jabbing. He was moving. He was bobbing and weaving. He's a very skilled boxer. But all it takes is one lick from the Bronze Bomber to knock you out. And out of nowhere, whenever he least expected it, the Bronze Bomber from Alabama gave him one right in the jaw, knocked him out. This man that fell, Tyson Fury, is 6'7". You talk about a tree falling. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I saw the replay of Tyson Fury hit the canvas. I'm telling you, he was out cold. His eyes rolled up in the back of his head. And they begin to count. The referee counts. And if he counts to 10, you're out. You're knocked out. 10 seconds to get up. And the referee said, 1, 2, and out of his corner, get up. They're screaming at him to get up off that canvas. You know good and well the crowd was crying out, get up. Those that were that watched pay-per-view, that was dumb enough to pay that kind of money to watch it, they were crying out, get up, get up. Oh, listen, about the 7th count, it seemed like a man resurrecting from the dead. He got up 6'7", and he began to box. It was a draw at the end of that match, but it was a miracle, it seemed, in the natural for a man to get up from a punch from the Bronze Bomber. It shocked the world. Listen, what are you trying to say? I'm saying to you today, he was down for the count. He could have just laid on the canvas and gave up, and a whole lot of folks would have. He was down, but there was something that rose up within him. He said, I'm going to get up. He may have been down for a few seconds, but he was not out. Oh, listen, church, there are times that situations, circumstances are going to knock you on the canvas. You can either lay there and die, or you can get up and continue to fight the good fight of faith. I'm preaching to somebody in this house today that you have been knocked down. You're discouraged. You feel like the world's against you. And I can tell you, if you're a child of God, the world's probably against you. You feel like you may have been forsaken by your family, by Christians. That may be a perception. Oftentimes, that's just a perception that's false. But if they did forsake you, let them forsake you. Jesus said, I'll never forsake you. If the whole world forsakes me and I got Jesus, I'm going to be all right, because all I need is King Jesus. Listen to me. If I can know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and to taste the glory of God, I am going to be all right. If you get knocked down, get up. The Lord says to somebody in this house today, get up, get up, get up, and fight the good fight of faith. If you don't know somebody that's down, you've known someone recently that's been down. It was Brother Clendenin. In his Marine days, he said that he'll never forget a battle that he was in, and he was feeding the machine gun. His friend, his best friend, was the gunner. And he was shooting at the enemy in World War II. He said, I'll never forget, as I was feeding the bullets into the 50 caliber machine gun, a bullet hit my best friend in the head. Killed him instantly. He watched him die before his very eyes, his best friend. You know what he did? You know, he said, I wanted to just break down and cry. I wanted to just give up right then and there. But he said, I knew that I couldn't give up. Why? Because too many other soldiers depend on me fighting the battle to bring victory. So what did he do? He moved his friend out of the way, and he picked up the machine gun, and he kept on fighting. Listen, I understand there are troubles and trials. There are times that the weight and the pressure is so great, we want to give up, give in, or throw in the towel. I'm going to tell you today, it is a warfare. We are fighting a war against the principalities and the powers of hell. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, and we need to get up, somebody, and fight the good fight of faith. Your grandkids are depending on you. Your husband's depending on you. Your wife's depending on you. Stop living in the mully grubs. Get out of it. Get up and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We must fight. John 16 and 33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus saying, in this life, you're going to have problems and trials. It's natural. Go ahead and get ready for it. If anybody, any preacher, any teacher tells you that when you get saved, everything's going to be a picnic, everything's going to be roses, run from that liar, because that ain't true. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to get sick in body. Sometimes you're going to suffer financially. Sometimes you're going to have relationship problems. Come on, church. Sometimes you're going to have a relative that dies and you're not going to understand it. Don't you lay there and die and let somebody else be a casualty of war. No, it's time that we arise from our lethargy. It's time that we rise up and fight the good fight of faith. Listen, you may be down this morning, but you are not out. We as the church need some spiritual endurance. You know, I never really had a whole lot of endurance running. I ran the 100 meters, the 40-yard dash. That's about as well. I did run the 400, but I threw up every time I did. You know, I never have been a long-distance runner in the natural. But I can tell you this, if you're not a long-distance runner in the spiritual, you're in a heap of trouble. This race does not go to the strong nor to the swift, but he that endures until the end. You're going to have to learn to take it. You're going to have to learn to endure trials in discouraging times. You're going to have to learn to endure a whole lot of things that are going to make you feel like you're not even saved at times. Have you ever felt like you weren't saved? I have felt that way many times. I just go back to the book. I go back to the altar and say, Lord, I know what the word says. If we can confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just have to believe it if God says it. Listen, we all go through a lot of things. We need some spiritual endurance, some consistency, and some persistency to get through the things that we are going through. You know, I've been at this church for 22 years. They say the average pastor stays at a church in America for 18 months. Praise the Lord for His grace. I started out as Brother Taylor, the greatest man of God that I knew at that time. And I'm telling you, he's one of the greatest men of God in his death that I know. A man who fasted the first 3 days of his salvation for the first 3 years of his salvation. This man memorized the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God, but he was a drill sergeant. I was his youth pastor for 2 years. I was his assistant pastor for 10 years, and I've been the senior pastor here for 10 years. You know, there are times that when I worked on that job, when I was the youth pastor and assistant pastor, I worked 50, 60 hours a week. There are times that, you know, I taught the School of Christ every Sunday morning, took hours of preparation for that on Saturday. I would preach every Sunday night, took hours of preparation, working 50 or 60 hours a week. I was a dad. I was a husband. I was a worker, a provider, and I helped Pastor Taylor around the church. I want to tell you something. It was the greatest schooling I've ever been in my whole life. I tell our young preachers, I'll go to them sometimes, and they don't turn me down, but I'll look at them and I'll say, hey, I need you to preach Sunday night. And they're just look like this. Oh, no. I can tell that they're saying, listen, I'm tired, I'm weary. And sometimes they don't feel that unction. You know what I tell them? Whenever I was assistant pastor here, whenever I was tired and discouraged, I still preached. Whenever I was at times where I didn't even feel saved, I cannot make that confession to you today. I didn't have willful sin in my life, but sometimes you just don't feel it. Do you understand what I'm saying today? I still preached anyway, and I pressed on. We need to stop being motivated by our feelings and get back to the Word of God. If God says you're saved, you've been birthed by the Spirit of God, you're saved. Stand on the Word of God. You may not feel like doing something today. Get in the harness. Keep on fighting. Keep on pressing. Keep on praying. There are times I know I wasn't anointed by God. I just kept on anyway. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the whole armor of God. And he says, when you've done all you can do to stand, do one thing, just stand. Sometimes I don't have a divine revelation from God. Sometimes I don't feel those doodads on top of doodads. You know what that is? That's chill bumps on top of chill bumps. When the Holy Ghost is moving and the power of God's manifesting, I don't have to feel it all of the time, but I am going to stay in the harness. I'm going to stay in the church house. I'm going to stay behind the blood covering. I'm going to keep on believing. I don't have to feel it every single time, but what I need is some consistency and some persistency. I need some spiritual endurance. Oh, listen, you come to church if you're tired. Come to church if you don't feel good. If you don't feel saved, if you have fallen the day before, come to church anyway. Get it under the blood, and God will forgive. Do you hear what I'm saying today? We need some spiritual endurance. Listen, sometimes I don't feel like preaching, I feel like crying. Have I ever told y'all that before? But I preach anyway. Sometimes I don't feel like praying, I feel like sleeping. And sometimes I sleep, sometimes I pray. But the grace of God helps me to get through. And He's going to help you to get through. Listen, whenever you've done all you can do to stand, let me say it again, just stand. Whenever you don't feel like you can go any further, press a little bit more. Listen, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay as long as you don't give up on God. I can tell you this, God, when the grace of God meets the free will of man, as long as you continue to stay in Him, if you mess up, get it right. Get it under the blood. And and God's going to keep you in the hour of temptation. Oh, listen, I'm telling somebody in this house today, somebody watching by Facebook, if you're down, get up off the ground and start again. Sometimes we get knocked down, but we have to get up and press on. Our text this morning is a beautiful picture of staying power. I'm talking to you about spiritual endurance. I'm preaching to you about staying power. You know, there's a lot of folks that can shout. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of fluff, and they're gifted, and they start off out of the blocks very strong and very fast, but they don't have any endurance. They don't have any spiritual endurance. When the trials and tribulations come, they start laying out of the church house. When one thing goes wrong with one person, they get offended and they'd rather stay home, and they still want to act like they're all right with God. Come on, church. You know it's the truth. Oh, listen, we're right with God when we put Him first. Listen, He will accept no other God before Him. What does God require? He expects and requires to be put number one in our lives. No other gods before Him. In this text is a beautiful picture of staying power. Some in the church give up so easy. Becoming a winner and a survivor spiritually entails the strength to stay at a task even when you feel like giving up. It is the willpower to keep on keeping on when you would rather resign. Call it whatever you would like. Determination, endurance, persistence, tenacity, whatever. We got to have it. Here in our text in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, we are troubled, he says, on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Here, Paul paints four pictures of endurance, and I'm going to just very briefly go over each one of them. The first one is a picture of pressure. Does anybody in this house this morning know what it's like to be under some pressure? He said we're troubled on every side. That word troubled means that we are pressured on every side. It's like a quarterback that is in the pocket, and you have a defensive lineman and you have a linebacker trying to sack the quarterback, and he's scrambling around and he's trying to find an open receiver. Listen, he may not get sacked in the backfield, but they have troubled him. Those defensive players have troubled him. They have pressured him, and they can make him to throw a bad throw. Listen, the enemy wants to pressure you. He wants to trouble you with all of the natural things of this life, get you to make a bad decision. Listen, oftentimes we don't make good decisions under pressure. Don't make a life-changing decision under pressure. Do you hear me? Listen, you need to pray. You need to wait on the Lord. Some people, whenever they're under the pressure and the guns of hell or just the natural things of life, they instantly want something changed, and they just go a certain direction. Don't you dare do it. When you're troubled, when you're pressured of the enemy, you just wait on the Lord. Listen, there's power in waiting. We don't like to wait because this flesh wants what it wants, and it wants it now. And oftentimes the flesh, we are so much in control of our situation, God doesn't have a chance to be in control. Listen, whenever you're in control and I'm in control, we're going to make a mess of our life. But if we, through the pressures of life, if we'll just wait on the Lord, somebody in this house today, you're about to make a life-changing decision. Don't you dare make that decision until you have heard from the Almighty God. Listen, we are troubled on every side, he says, but not distressed. The devil uses this tactic with us constantly. Pressure, pressure, pressure. My son uses it with his mama. He's a good boy. He's just like his daddy. He's persistent and consistent. I did it with my mom too. Mom, please, can I? When dad walks in the room, he's like, please. Oh, listen, and that pressure will wear her down. Listen, he wants to wear you out. Oh, he'll wear out the patience of the saints with constant pressure. Don't allow the enemy to pressure. You know what, salesmen try to pressure me, I'm like, see you later, buddy. Listen, when I go in to look at a car, I just want to look. You know what I'm saying? And they say, no, listen, if you love that woman, I've had them say, if you love her, you'll buy her a car. I'm like, hey, man, what do you think I am? You think I'm that dumb? Do I have sucker written across my forehead? Listen, I don't take well to pressure. Listen, and if you and I don't learn to be still and to wait on the Lord, we're going to make some major catastrophic decisions that we can't overturn in our life. We're troubled. He's pressuring us. He will use anything to overwhelm you. Deadlines that your job puts upon you. Pressure. Financial situations that you feel like, oh, I better do this quickly. Pressure. Job situations, pressure. Health situations, pressure. Relationships, whatever it is, he's troubling you. He's trying to pressure you. Listen to me today. Do not make that decision. Do not cross that line without the voice and the direction of the Holy Ghost. God knows what we have need of, and he knows the timing that's right for our lives. Don't escape the trial. When God's trying to work something within you, I see people constantly trying to run from situations that they should have stayed in. If you never stay, I'm not saying that every situation that you need to stay in, there are times that the Lord will speak for you to depart from that situation. But it's through the trials, it's through the fiery trial that is to try us, that God allows the heat to be put to our lives and all the impurities come to the top. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's how he forms Christ within us, is the pressure, is the trials. Listen, don't let pressures cause you to make a bad decision. Let the pressures of life form you to be like Jesus. Let the pressure remove all of the impurities. Diamonds are formed by pressure. Intense pressure. Diamonds are formed when carbon is under immense amount of pressure and heat. The carbon atoms found in coal are squeezed and heated and then pushed towards the earth's surfaces where they are cooled and become diamonds. Now listen, a diamond isn't formed overnight. It takes a long time to make a diamond. And there are times, listen, I have seen diamonds formed in the Christian realm in 10, 15 years. And I've seen people serve God for 30 years and they're not a diamond. You know, God tried to work in them and they made bad decisions through that journey. Come on. What it depends on is how do you respond? How do you handle the pressure? Are you going to escape it? Are you going to blame somebody else? Are you going to get mad, bitter, and you're going to get all vexed in your spirit? Or are you and I going to allow the pressure to form something beautiful in our life? Let me tell you something. That pressure that you're facing today, God's trying to make something valuable out of your life so you can do something great in the kingdom of God. The pressure, the health problems that you didn't know if you were going to live or die. You didn't know if you're going to be able to pay your bills or not. That job, that boss. Listen, I have come to the conclusion God has put me beside bad neighbors all my life. You know what it is? I believe God's trying to form a diamond. That's what I believe is trying to take place. Listen, don't play the blame game. Let God do what he's trying to do in your life. Number two, he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. It's a picture of confusion, perplexity, where you don't understand what's going on. Listen, there's a lot of things I don't understand about things that happen to me and things that happen to the church people. We're confused. We're perplexed. There are times whenever trials become so great that we don't know whether we're coming or going. Have you ever been on the staircase and you stop in the middle of walking up and you didn't know if you were coming up or going down? You were perplexed. You were stressed out. You were confused. Let me tell you something. It's real. I know that whenever the enemy comes to he comes to attack, God allows this. You hear me? Because he wants to form something within us. Although we are confused, we are not in despair. Sometimes we just don't know which way to go. Life has a way of throwing us a curveball now and then. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we face circumstances that are so confusing that we honestly don't know what we need or what we want or what would be best in our life. There are times I don't know. But I can tell you this, God does know. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He prays through us with groanings and utterings. Listen, there have been times in my life where I didn't know what to do. I was simply perplexed. I was confused. I'd go to that altar and I would begin to cry out to God. And then out of the belly came a river of living water, and I began to intercede with groanings and utterings. I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Let me tell you something. My spirit man was praying directly into the throne room of heaven. That perplexity. Listen, I may not have figured everything out, but God knew, and God began to direct me, or he began to change the situation. What we need to do is come back to the simple altar again. It's the altar of prayer that God begins to move. Listen, I can tell you, we don't need a 10-step program. What we need is Almighty God. Latch a hold of the horns of the altar again. Let the Holy Ghost pray through you. He knows what you have need of. He knows what I have need of today. It's the Spirit that makes groanings through us. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord who knows all things can fill in the details. When we are confused, Jesus is not confused. That's a powerful revelation, isn't it? Brother Taylor used to say it like this. He said, I don't worry. He said, there ain't no use in me and Jesus both worrying. Jesus don't worry. He's never confused. Do you hear me? He's never perplexed. Whenever you're stressed out, when you don't know what's going on, he knows everything. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows the day of your death. He knows. He's already made a plan. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. God has already made a plan of victory for you and I. Listen, don't ever get so perplexed that you begin to have a nervous breakdown. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, you may be confused, but God's got this thing if you can just trust him. Sometimes we're puzzled and perplexed by life. Sometimes we are bewildered and unsure. That's okay. Just trust the Lord. He is the captain of the ship. On this old ship of Zion, the Lord is still the captain. And you may be in a storm this morning. It's going to be okay. He's on the ship. He's the one guiding the ship. You don't have to be perplexed. Listen, I said it last week that there's an evangelist from Mississippi, Moss Point, Mississippi. His name's Ronnie Jarman, and his son died in a car accident with a pastor, his son. He was an evangelist preaching revival for this pastor, and it was on a rainy Sunday morning. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they went to the store to get donuts, and they hydroplaned, and they got killed in that car. Can you imagine how the questions would come to your mind? Why, God? This man's an evangelist. This man's a pastor. Why didn't God protect their children? Listen, there's a lot of questions I don't have the answer to, but I can tell you this. Ronnie Jarman said something, and in going through that trial in the next several weeks and months, he made a statement. He said, I refuse to go to hell over a mystery. I refuse to go to hell over a mystery. I refuse to go to hell over a mystery. What was that man saying? He was saying, I am not going to get bitter at God and blame God just because I am perplexed in my spirit. Oh, listen, you may be perplexed and confused this morning. Don't go to hell over a mystery, and don't get bitter at God. You may be down, but you are not out. Number three, he says we're persecuted but not forsaken. It's a picture of being chased. A picture of being chased. In this particular text, it's the idea of a hunter chasing wild game, but the animal eluding the hunter. What he's saying is you're persecuted, you're being chased, but you are not forsaken. I love that song, Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds are gathering, he's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. Listen, God will never leave you. You need to get it in your spirit today. The enemy may be against you. He may be pursuing you. You may feel like you are being persecuted by those at your work, maybe family members because of your faith, but God's right there. Hold on to God. It's going to be worth it when you get on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. You may be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. Paul knew about this from personal experience. Everywhere Paul went, his Jewish opponents followed him. They stayed on his trail attacking his character, coming against his preaching, mocking his message, and stirring up opposition inside and outside the church. They never gave Paul one moment's rest. That's how he felt. Paul felt like an animal being chased. He understood this. He understood that they were constantly after him. Have you ever felt that way from somebody? They're always on your trail. Listen, don't you kids think about your parents right now, because that's a good kind of on your trail. Listen, they're always persecuting you. Oh, listen, what's the good news about persecution? I can tell you this. There is some good news, because in the midst of your persecution, he is there. God has always been there. And there's something else good about persecution. There's something else good about opposition. The door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. Let me say that again. The door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. Opportunity and opposition always go together, don't they? It seems like any time that you're going to do something good, there's always opposition, especially in the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, the enemy doesn't want you to do good. There's going to be opposition. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let me read it again. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Opportunity, opposition. Opportunity, opposition. When God begins to deal with your heart, there's always going to be a voice. You remember in the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah had made up his mind he was going to help rebuild the wall. You remember what happened? Immediately, he came. He was the king's cupbearer, and he'd heard about the walls being broken down and the gates of the city burned with fire. And he knew that Israel was susceptible to a constant attack of the enemy. So Nehemiah got a burden, and he said, I'm going to go to that city, and I'm going to rebuild that city. That king helped him that he was his cupbearer for. When he got there, they started out with a sword in one hand, woo, and a trowel in the other. They were going to fight, and they were going to work. That is a picture of what the church must do constantly. We must be willing to work. We got to have a tool, a working tool in one hand and a sword in the other. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And immediately when they begin to rebuild the walls, they begin to do something for God, opposition came against them. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. The Arabians came and began to mock him, persecuting him, saying, hey, come off that wall. Let's go down to the city. They want to take him to this type of a paradise to talk to him and to get him off that working wall. Listen, whenever God has put something in your spirit to do, don't you come off the wall. It may be rebuilding something in your home, in your own spiritual life. Come on, church. I'm telling you today, it is a picture of being chased, but you've got to just go on with God. Press on anyway. Number four, cast down, he says, but not destroyed. It's a picture of constantly being thrown down, knocked down. Has anybody in this house been knocked down recently? Knocked down, but we are never knocked out. If you live long enough, you're going to be hit with a sucker punch one day or another. A sucker punch. You know what a sucker punch is? It's whenever somebody comes up behind you and hits you in the back of the head, and you never see it. That's how trials are. You don't see them coming. The term struck down here refers to the sudden emergency, the unforeseen incident, the late night phone call, the crisis that seems to come out of nowhere, the catastrophe that overwhelms us, the earthquake of trouble that rocks our world. Cast down. Knocked down. Listen, it happens, but you've got to keep your mind during the time of trial. Sometimes you see the blow coming. More often, it seems to come out of nowhere. What happens to others happens to you and I as Christians. It's a big mistake to think that God promises to shield his children from trouble. Let me just say this before I move any further. I'm about to close. Be careful in your question of God. The Bible never says that we're not to question God, but I would be very careful how I question God. You know, whenever I came up to my mom, dad, and I thought that it could be a controversial situation, I was very careful how I questioned them. Be careful. Be careful not to make a false indictment against God because of what you're going through. Well, God allowed this to happen. I don't understand this, God. Why are you allowing this to happen to my family? Why are you, Lord, I have paid my tithe and I'm struggling financially. Lord, I have been faithful to the word of God and my children are backsliding. Lord, why is it I've stood on the word of God that healing is the children's bread. And Lord, I'm suffering physically. Be careful. God's allowing you to go through something, but I can tell you it's for a reason. He's trying to form something in you. You may be knocked down this morning, but you are not out to hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's about to turn around. Can someone come to the piano? Our friends will judge us, judge our Christianity, mostly by how we respond when we take it on the chin. They'll judge us according to how you respond during difficult situations. We need a theology of suffering. If we're going to reach this generation, we need to show them, as a Christian, how to go through suffering. You can cry. You can feel the pain of being knocked down, but get back up. Let them see somebody who trusts in the Lord. Christians are the light of the world. When is the light most likely to be seen? Not in the bright sun. Or at midday. The light of our life is most likely to be seen in the darkness of night. We are the light of the world 24 hours a day. Our testimony is given in the midst of hardship and sorrow. And it will resonate, listen to me, our testimony will resonate more loudly during the darkest hours of our life. Can we stand? Are we under pressure? Yes. Do we get confused at times? Absolutely. Do we face harsh criticism, persecution? Yes. Do we get knocked down sometimes? Absolutely. I love that song. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but it doesn't have a lot of words to it. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know I win. You ever heard that? No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know I win, I win, I win, I win. You're talking about some theology? It's a song that's proclaiming this. Devil, whatever you throw at me, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm ready for the trials. I don't want the trials. I'm not inviting trials. I'm not begging the Lord to allow trials to come my way. But when you make up your mind ahead of time, Satan, no matter what you throw at me, I'm going to look to Jesus. There are so many people in the church that instead of running to Jesus, they withdraw. Some of you have been withdrawing. You've been withdrawing. You're in a painful situation, and you automatically think that people know what you're going through, or you don't understand why they don't come to your rescue. Listen, people are not mind readers. They don't always know what you're going through. They may be going through something that would blow your mind. Because of privacy, I counsel so many people in this church, you wouldn't believe what your neighbor's going through. And you're thinking, man, they didn't even shake my hand today. You don't know what they're going through. Pain. Getting in our mind, no matter what the enemy throws at us, we win in the end. The devil may win a couple of battles here and there, but we win the war. I read the last page of the book. I know what happens. I already know what happens. In Revelation chapter 19, the rapture's already taken place. And 7 years have gone by. The devil knows he's in a heap of trouble. John the Revelator said this. He had a vision from God, Revelations 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. He had the vesture dipped in blood, which was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, fine and clean. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I read the last page. I know. We win, we win, we win, we win, we win, we win. Hold on to God. Listen to me today. Listen, I love the three Hebrew boys. We're about to come to this altar, but hear me. Well, I love the three Hebrew boys. It's an attitude, and it's a good kind of an attitude. They're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow to the image made of gold, I'm about to throw you in there. And I'm just going to paraphrase. They said, we may burn, but we ain't going to bow. Here's what they said. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. Listen to this. And he will deliver us. That's a positive confession. That's faith. Listen to me. Say it again. This is what they said. The God that we serve will deliver us. That's positive. And they said this, but if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to you. I call that, the first side is the positive side of faith. God can and he will. I call that statement the other side of faith. That's the negative side. And listen, it takes a negative and a positive to make things work. Do you hear me? But it's really not negative. The other side of faith says, listen, devil, I want you to know, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know I win. You may cast me in a burning fiery furnace. You may knock me down. I may go through trials in this life, but I ain't bound down to you, devil. I ain't leaving the church house. I ain't going to give up my post. There are too many people that need me to stay in my post, to serve God, to fight the good fight of faith. Listen, here's our problem. And I say this, here's our problem. Humans, the flesh, we get upset and we withdraw. We make it about ourselves. We make it about me and what they didn't do for me or what they did to me. We got to get out of focusing on ourselves. You are not called to do this for yourself. This is for others. And if we don't get out of that mindset, somebody's going to die. Somebody in this kingdom is going to die. Too many lives depend on what you do and what I do. If I just decided every time I got discouraged, I'm not coming to the house of God. I'm not coming this morning. That pulpit would be empty. I can tell you somebody would man that pulpit because somebody's got to fight the good fight of faith. Mom and Dad, don't ask your kids if they want to come to church. In 18 years that I lived with my mom and dad, they never said, hey, y'all want to go to church this morning? Y'all want to go to the mall? Y'all want to go to the beach? Do you know, they just said, get in the car. When we tell you to be ready at this time, you be in the car. I don't want y'all to think they were just terrible. That's why I am the way I am, you know what I mean? Don't ask them what church they want to go to. Unless they say they want to come here, then that's okay. Do you hear what I'm saying today? We've got this thing all wrong. It ain't about you. It's time to get in our post, pick up the machine gun, and keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Can we just come around these altars this morning? Let's stand around these altars. I want us to stand across this sanctuary. Somebody in this house, you feel like you've been knocked down on one set way or the other. You're perplexed, discouraged, cast down in your spirit. The enemy's even tempted you recently about just giving up. Let me say that again. The enemy's tempted you here recently about giving up, and you have entertained it in your mind. My response to you, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Wake up. That's ridiculous. Don't you dare give up. We're almost home. I can almost see the lights of the city this morning. I'm telling you, Jesus is about to get us out of this place. It's time to get in the harness, to be consistent, to be persistent. What if I don't feel like it? I don't feel like it a whole lot, but I keep on anyway. Amen? I said, I don't feel like it a whole lot, but I keep on going anyways. Sometimes I get discouraged, but I just have to rise up. I had to come to my wife and say, baby, can you help me out here? Can you encourage me? Sometimes she may be down. I have to encourage her. Listen, if you can't find somebody to encourage you, encourage yourself in the Lord like David did when his wife and children were kidnapped and his men talked of stoning him. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. What was he saying to himself? I believe he was saying something like this. Okay, David, calm down. Calm down. This is bad. But you remember the lion and the bear? You remember the anointing of the Holy Ghost? When God came upon you, a miracle took place. You remember the giant and the stone? David, he probably talked to himself like this. David, you are no match for the enemy, but the God you serve is and has always been. Remember what he did before? Sometimes I have to tell myself this. I'll say, Matt Gregory, do you remember what he's done before? And I'll start reminding myself, okay, he's done this before. He's worked this miracle. He healed me whenever it looked like I was down for the count. Oh, the Lord came on the scene. What am I doing? I am encouraging myself in the Lord. When it looked bad, when it looked impossible, I just started encouraging myself in the Lord. Oh, listen, do you talk to yourself, preacher? Yes, I do. Every once in a while, I do talk to myself because I encourage myself in the Lord Jesus. Can we lift our hands all over this place today? Listen, if you're down, get up, get up, get up. Keep on fighting today.
I'm down, but I'm not out.
Father, I cry out. Perplexed.
You may be troubled. My battle scars.
But this morning, you're going to help somebody get these altars.
Heart,
oh God.
It's not the end.
I believe God's doing
all.
It at this altar right now.
I'm going to rise above.
The enemy's trying to count you out. You've been knocked down. It's time to get up. Rise up. Off of the canvas. Yes, you failed. Yes, this tragic thing happened to your family. Rise up off of the canvas. Rise up. Get up. Somebody just needs to get up right now. 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 You know who I'm talking to this morning. Get up. Get up. Get up. You are down, but you are not out. He is still on the throne. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for the people of God. Hallelujah. I want you to move close to somebody. You're going to pray for somebody in this sanctuary. If it's a family member, move close to a family member. If it's a man, pray for a man. A woman, pray for a woman. We're going to pray. If you only knew what they're facing in their mind, the battle of their mind, the battle in their home, in their physical body, the troubles that face them, you could pray with an urgency. Come on, church. Somebody is in the balance this morning and they're found wanting. Somebody is in the balance today and they're found wanting. Somebody's in the the balance and they're about wanting. Daddy, don't you stop coming to church. Daddy, don't you stop praying. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop praying. Mom, I know that you have gone through hell. I know that you have faced the warfare in your mind. And you know no one else understands what you're going through. The Lord says this, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Get up off that canvas. We're almost home. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I cry out to you today. Somebody's in the balance today and found wanting. Somebody's in the balance and found wanting today.
You may see my battle scars.
Shorty kata.
My wounds and a broken heart. But it's not the end at all.
Holy Ghost is moving in these altars today.
I'm going to rise above the fall.
The Lord's doing the work right now.
Never said it would be easy.
Brother Matt, I can't get up.
Sometimes
yes, you
I'm
can.
Gonna fall.
The grace of God will allow you to get up.
He's there to catch
the grace of God empowers you to do what you cannot do within yourself. Get up. Get up. Whatever it is that's caused you to be in the position that you're in right now, get up.
Get up.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's hit the floor.